Before I begin, I would like to ask you a few questions. First of all, how many of you have been to the Radha Kalachanji temple? Or let's do it the other way. Is there anyone here who has not been to the Radha Kalachanji temple? All right. How many here chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on Japa Mala? Okay. How many here have the Bhagavad Gita as it is at home? How many have read the Bhagavad Gita as it is? Okay. How many have Srimad Bhagavatam at home? Well, Hare Krishna. I'll speak a little about Srimad Bhagavatam. The strength of this new house is being tested. Well, I'm happy to be here. I wish there was a Srimad Bhagavatam here, and I'm feeling that, I don't know, somehow I'm feeling responsible that we haven't been able to convey the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam to even our most active congregation members. When I first began to visit South Africa, I met a very nice young lady. She, from her childhood, she was interested in Sanskrit. She wanted to learn Sanskrit. And when she was in her teens, she wanted to get Srimad Bhagavatam to read. And her family was, you know, like a middle-class family in Durban. At the time, they didn't have so much money. And her father was saving up to buy her a bed. So when she asked for Srimad Bhagavatam, her father said, you know, we don't have so much money, and we've been saving up to buy you a bed. Until then, she was sleeping on the floor, I guess on a mattress on the floor. She said, that's all right, Daddy. I don't need a bed. I'd rather have Srimad Bhagavatam. So he used the money to buy Srimad Bhagavatam. She would read it very seriously. Srimad Bhagavatam is a very important scripture because it answers the most important question that a person can ask. you might know the history of Srimad Bhagavatam, that King Parikshit was in the forest and he came to the hermitage of a sage, and he was he expected a reception and a glass of water. He happened to be thirsty. And that's Vedic culture. Srila Prabhupada also wanted us to learn how to receive guests. You welcome them with sweet words. You offer them a place to sit. You offer them a glass of water. And you offer them prasad. That's the proper method. And if you can't offer all four, then at least you offer them sweet words and a place to sit and a glass of water. Well, the sage was deep in meditation, and he wasn't aware that the king had come. But by the arrangement of the Lord, King Parikshit, who was Mahabhagavata, an advanced devotee, he somehow became angry that the sage was ignoring him. He thought the sage was ignoring him. And he picked up a snake that was there, a dead snake, and put it around the sage's neck in anger and left. The reason authorities say that it was the will of the Lord or the arrangement of the Lord is because such an exalted devotee as Maharaj Parikshit could not have become angry under ordinary circumstances. Just like Arjun was also a great devotee of the Lord, he couldn't have come into the type of illusion that inspired him to refuse to follow Krishna's instruction to fight. But it was the arrangement of the Lord so that Krishna could speak the Bhagavad Gita to him. So in the same way, King Parikshit was inspired to become angry, to take offense, and he left. The sage had a son, 12-year-old son named Sringi. And when Sringi understood what had happened, he became angry at the king, and he cursed the king to die in 7 days, being bitten by a snake, because he had garlanded his father with a snake. And this is actually considered to be the beginning of Kali Yuga, when the Brahmins misused their powers. He was the son of a Brahmin. He had the power to curse, but he misused the power against a pure devotee. And Maharaj Parikshit, being a Mahabhagavata, was fully competent to counteract the curse, but he chose not to. He took it as the will of the Lord or the mercy of the Lord, And he went to the banks of the Ganges, or the Yamuna, to pass his 7 remaining days. And while he was there, so many great saints and sages assembled. But among them, Shukadeva Goswami was considered the best. And so on the banks of the Ganges, or the Yamuna, in the 7 days that Maharaj Parikshit had left to live, he inquired of Shukadeva Goswami. And his first question is a most important question for all of us. His question was, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? Now, this is an important question for all of us because we're all going to die. We might think Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days. When it comes to the end, I'll also... Well, that's also a big question. But one could say, when it comes to the end, I'll also hear and chant about Krishna. But as Srila Prabhupada has remarked, and as any one of us can understand, Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days. We don't know if we have 7 hours. We don't know. No one knows. Generally, when we go to sleep, we think that the next day is going to be more or less the same as the previous day. But one day, it's not going to be the same. One day we're going to wake up and that day is going to be very different. We could be very sick, or there could be a calamitous accident or whatever. So we don't really know when death will come. And even if we have 7 days or 7 years or 70 years, we have to begin to prepare now, because our thoughts at the time of death will determine our next life. Of course, the basis of the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam is the Bhagavad Gita. And the first instruction in the Bhagavad Gita is, I'm not the body, I'm the soul within the body. So if we know that we're not the body, if we know we're the soul within the body, what are we doing for ourselves? What are we doing for the soul? We know theoretically we're the soul, but if we really understand we're the soul, what are we doing for the soul? What are we doing to prepare for our next birth? The body, we could say the body is like a house, and the soul is like the person who inhabits the house. So we know that at a certain stage we're going to have to leave this house. And where are we going to go? We have to prepare. We have to plan. And well, of course, now the market is in flux, but under ordinary circumstances, if one works hard, if he's conscientious, if he earns, if he saves, he can get a better house. But if he doesn't work, he doesn't earn, or if he earns but he squanders the money, he doesn't save, then when he has to vacate the present house and go to a new house, he won't be able to afford such a nice house. So in the same way, according to how we live our life, we'll be able to get a better body or a worse body. Better and worse are basically calculated in terms of facility to become Krishna conscious. But anyway, King Parikshit knew he had 7 days to live, and only 7 days. So he asked Shukadeva Goswami, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? And that is the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. That question is the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami answers that one who wants to be fearless at the time of death must hear and chant and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That is our basic duty. And then, just after that, he says that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the doubtless and fearless method of success for all, including those who are full of material desires, those who are free from material desires, and those who are self-satisfied. All categories of people can attain success by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, following the ways of authorities. That's what the verse says. And authorities, such as Jiva Goswami, comment that the holy name should be chanted without offense. You know, following the ways of the authorities means without offense. But even if one has committed offenses in the past, still one can take shelter of the holy name. And this is a very salient point, because Maharaj Parikshit, as a humble Vaishnav, thought that he had committed an offense against the sage by becoming angry and placing a snake around his neck. He thought he'd committed an offense. But even then, by taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes completely successful. And throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, although there are so many different discussions, questions and answers, so many different historical narrations about great kings and sages and devotees, but throughout Srimad Bhagavatam is glorification of the holy name of the Lord. And Srila Jiva Goswami says that that is the theme of Srimad Bhagavatam, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And we find it in the very beginning, in response to Maharaj Parikshit's question, and we find it at the very end, the very last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, yes, Sankirtana. Well, it's a glorification of Krishna, but the chanting of whose name destroys all sins. The last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and throughout. I'm very glad to see we have the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam here. The sixth canto contains the story of Ajamil. And the whole purport of the story of Ajamil is the value of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord without offense. Ajamil was born a son of good Brahmin family. He himself was trained in Brahminical culture. He used to worship Krishna. But in his youth, when he was walking by the way, he saw a low-class couple embracing and enjoying. And somehow seeing that, of course, that was not to be seen, and it was not seen then. But anyway, somehow they were shamelessly embracing in open view, and he saw it, and somehow he became agitated. And he tried to recall all the good instructions he had read in the scripture and all the good instructions he had received in his youth. But he, Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu, please come. The moon of Lord Chaitanya is rising. Hare Krishna, welcome. So Ajamil, he recalled all the good instructions he had received, and he tried to control his senses and mind. But he was unsuccessful. This means that theoretical knowledge alone is not enough. He had theoretical knowledge. He knew that he should control his mind and his senses. But when he was agitated by seeing that couple engaged in some sort of sexual activity, he became agitated. And in spite of his efforts to control his mind and senses, he couldn't. And he kept thinking about that prostitute. She was a prostitute. And eventually he sought her out and married her. And to support her, he engaged in all sorts of sinful activities. He lost his culture and became implicated in sinful activities. In his old age, he gave birth to a son. And somehow he named the son Narayan, the name of God. And when he was 88 years old, he was on his deathbed. And because of his sinful activities, the agents of Yamaraj, to say the god of death, who punishes the sinful living entities, came to drag his soul from his body and take it to Yamaraj for justice, for punishment. Now, I will show you the picture. One of the reasons we don't have Srimad Bhagavatam, or one of the reasons we don't read it, even when we have it, is we don't believe it. We think they're just stories. Even what I'm saying, I know a lot of you think these are just stories. Maybe there's some good lesson in it, but we don't really know if it's true that there's a Yamaraj, that there's Yamadutas, or there's judgment and punishment. We don't know. Anyway, here's the picture. I'll tell you a little more about the story before I show you the picture, because the picture comes a few frames later. So when Ajamil saw these fearsome-looking figures coming to take him, he panicked. And this is very common. There's one of our god sisters, Sangeeta Dasi. She was a hospice nurse for many years, and she saw so many people leave their bodies, and it was quite common that they would see something very fearsome at the time of death. And she has a lot of spooky tales to tell, but I don't want to tell them so late at night because you might not be able to sleep. And on top of it, you might get some visits from some ghosts but I shouldn't say more. Yeah. Virabhadra Prabhu has Nrisingadeva on his shirt, so he's smiling, he's not worried. But anyway, it happens. You know, they become very fearful. It's as if they see something, and they do see. They do see. And sometimes in their fear, they pass water and things, and it's very frightening. So Ajamil was seeing these four, you know, fearsome figures. And he panicked. He didn't know what to do. And in desperation, his small son was playing nearby. And in desperation, he called, "Narayan, Narayan, Narayan," calling his son. But because he uttered the four syllables of the holy names of God, the agents of Narayan, who are called Vishnu Dutas, the messengers of Narayan, they came. And they intervened and they said, "Halt!" They stopped the Yamadutas. And then there was a very interesting discussion. Who had jurisdiction over the soul of Ajamil? The Yamadutas thought they had jurisdiction because he was sinful. And anyone who's sinful gets taken by the Yamadutas to the court of Yamaraj, and a judgment is made, and he's punished accordingly. And this is possible. I said I wouldn't, but can take my word for it. There are many stories of people who have seen the Yamadutas at the end of their lives. And Ajamil was saved, even though he was sinful, because he chanted the holy names of the Lord. So the Vishnu Dutas argued that he was not subject to be punished by Yamaraj because he had chanted the holy name of the Lord at the last moment, without offense, and therefore he was not under their jurisdiction. So here's the picture. Here's the picture of Ajamil. Yeah, there were three Yamadutas and four Vishnu Dutas. Now, in the old edition of Srimad Bhagavatam, this has been, reduced into 18 volumes, but there was another edition that had smaller volumes, more numbers of volumes. And this picture was on the cover of one of the volumes. Oh, here it is. It's on the back, yeah. So a devotee was distributing this book at the Chicago airport, and he put the book in the hand of like a very well-dressed, you know, dignified, respectable gentleman. And the gentleman looked at this picture and he said, "Oh my God, you know about these people?" And then he said, "I want to talk to you." And then he said he had almost died. And at that time, he saw these same people that were depicted in the picture. So this is real, and it's serious.
He surrendered to the devotee, as Kishore does.
Really?
And that was in total anxiety. And he said, "Please, you've got to help me." He said, "I've seen these people." I said, "What do you want?" You know, he gave him his watch, he gave him all his money, and he was like totally like, he just wanted to surrender to the devotee because he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
It was really amazing, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what we should all be doing. That's the whole point. That's exactly the point. Thank you. I hadn't heard the sequel. So Ajamil was saved from the hands of the Yamadutas. He was allowed to stay in his body for some time longer. In other words, he didn't die. Externally, while this discussion was going on between the Yamadutas and Vishnudutas, we would say he was in coma. Srila Prabhupada says one reason that someone is in coma is because his fate is being discussed and decided. It's like it's not a simple case. It's sort of like the jury is in session for a long time, and meanwhile the accused is awaiting judgment. So Ajamil's life was spared. He didn't die. And like the man at the Chicago airport, he decided to surrender to Krishna. I mean, he knew what fate awaited him if he didn't surrender to Krishna. And so he went to a holy place, Haridwar, on the banks of the Ganges, to engage in sadhana bhakti. He had chanted offenselessly, and the result of offenseless chanting is one is freed from sinful reactions, and one is freed from hellish punishment, and one is liberated. He was liberated from all of his attachments. He was so attached to his wife, who was the prostitute. He was so attached to his son. But by offenseless chanting, he was liberated from those attachments and, you know, freed from sinful reactions, freed from hellish punishment, and he went to Haridwar. But he still hadn't come to the stage where he was chanting purely. It was considered offenseless. One of the offenses is to commit sins on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. In other words, we hear that by chanting the holy name, one is freed from sinful reactions. You just heard that a few sentences ago. Now, if someone thinks, oh, well, I'll engage in sinful activities and then I'll chant the holy name and I won't have to suffer the reactions. If one has that mentality, that is offensive. That's very offensive. And the holy name does not deliver its benefits to a person who is an offender. In fact, the consequences of offenses can be more severe and serious than the reactions to sins. But Ajamil was not thinking that, oh, if I chant the holy name of God, I will neutralize the reactions to my sinful activities. He was just chanting in a completely helpless mood, Narayan, 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 save me, save me. Although he meant his son. So it was not considered offensive. It was offenseless. Namabhas. And it's also said that because he had worshipped Narayan in his childhood, because his parents were Brahmins, and traditionally Brahmins have Shalagram Shila, who's Narayan, and they worship at home. So it's said that at that moment when he chanted the name Narayan for his son, he remembered the original Narayan, whom he had worshipped in his childhood. So that's the great benefit, well, of naming your child Narayan or Chaitanya, Krishna, Radhika. It's also the great value of having parents who are good devotees, Brahmins, that at the time of death, whatever might have happened in between, and we hope not much bad happens in between, but, and this doesn't apply to anyone here, of course, but even if in between one gets distracted, still there's hope that at the end one will remember the Lord that one worshipped in one's earlier life. So Ajamil went to Haridwar and seriously chanted the holy name. Yes, there's another important point here, that he had the association of pure devotees, the Vishnu Dutas, the pure devotees of the Lord. He heard their discussions with the Yamadutas, and so that the combination of chanting offensively and having the association of pure devotees led to his going to Haridwar. And then when he was perfect in his chanting, then the same Vishnu Dutas, whom he had seen earlier, came with a transcendental aircraft to take him back home, back to Godhead. So this is in the middle of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then there's the 11th canto, the description of different incarnations, and there's the description of the Yuga avatars. And the incarnation for Kali Yuga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasa, those who are intelligent, they worship this incarnation of Godhead by performance of Sankirtan Yagya. He Sumedasa. Sumedasa means who has fine intelligence. And opposed to Sumedasa is Alpamedasa, those who have less intelligence. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that those who worship the demigods are alpha medasa, less intelligent. Those who have fine intelligence, they worship Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Sankirtan Yajna. Then, after describing, we're coming back now to the second canto, first chapter, the beginning of the discussion between Sukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. So Parikshit Maharaj asks his question. Sukadev Goswami says that to be fearless at the time of death, one should hear and chant and remember the Lord. And then he says that, you know, the doubtless and fearless method is to chant the holy name of the Lord. Whether you're full of material desires or free from material desires or self-satisfied. Full of material desires means the karmis, they want material things. Free from material desires is like the gyanis, they want to renounce the world and material things. And those who are self-satisfied, those are the devotees of the Lord. They're satisfied in devotional service. They don't want to enjoy, they don't want to renounce. They're happy in devotional service. And for all three categories, the chanting of the holy name is the way of success. And then Sukadeva Goswami says that by the rising and setting of the sun, the duration of life of everyone is reduced, except for those who utilize their time in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. And this would have been the verse and purport I would have read. But, no problem, I know what the verse and purport say, but it would have been nice to hear directly from Srila Prabhupada in more detail. The purport is that by the rising and setting of the sun, the duration of life of everyone is diminished. That's clear. Every one of us is allotted a certain duration of life from birth, according to our karma. And every day that passes, we get one day closer to death. Srila Prabhupada said, say we're allotted 80 years. So we celebrate our 50th birthday. We say, oh, someone is 50 years old. But Srila Prabhupada said it would be more appropriate to say they're 50 years dead. And Srila Prabhupada would quote a verse from Chanakya Pandit, great Brahmin, moralist and political strategist, that you cannot buy back one moment of your life for, you know, millions and billions of dollars. Say, of course, this is a pretty good way to be using your time, but say, tomorrow night, or I'll say tonight, say 9 o'clock on October 24th. Okay, October 9 o'clock at night on October 24th, 2008. If you want to buy back that moment, even if you're ready to spend $1 million or $1 billion, you can't get it back. So how you use that is very critical. It's good you're here in satsang, so that's time well used. But at 9 o'clock, where will your mind be? Your body is here, that's good. That's very good. Where will your mind be at 9 o'clock? And is that how you want that moment that you cannot get back for millions and billions of dollars? Do you want your mind to be wherever it is at that moment? Is that how you want to use that invaluable gift of that time that you can never buy back for any amount of money? So, this morning in class I mentioned Mr. Bridgeratan Mota. He was actually the richest man in what became Pakistan after partition. And when I went to Pakistan, he wanted me to see his old home. It was a palace. It was called Mota Palace. It was a palace. It was really like a Rajasthani palace. And it was taken by, you know, the government of Pakistan for Muhammad Ali Jinnah. You got Mota Mahal. There were many buildings, beautiful buildings. So I mentioned Mr. Mota in the morning. Oh yes, and then he married the daughter of R.D. Birla, who's like one of the richest Hindus in all of India. So he's a very prominent person. And he somehow got attracted to the devotees and to Srila Prabhupada. So once he came to meet Srila Prabhupada in Juhu, and Srila Prabhupada quoted this maxim of Chanakya Pandit. And Mr. Mota, you know, as a businessman, businessmen are always calculating profit and loss. So he said, Prabhupada said to him, you take the ledger of your life, and one column is profit and the other column is loss. And any businessman, he wants to maximize his profit and minimize his loss. So he said, any time utilized in Krishna consciousness is profit. And any other time used for any other purpose is loss. So, you know, we should be conscious of this fact and utilize every moment for Krishna consciousness, because, you know, the clock is ticking, the sun is rising and setting, and we're getting closer to death. And if we don't utilize our time for chanting and hearing about Krishna, we're getting closer to death. But how could it be said that if we utilize our time for chanting and hearing about Krishna, we're not getting closer to death? Everyone's getting closer to death. Srila Prabhupada explains that if we utilize our time for hearing and chanting about Krishna, we're not getting closer to death. We're getting closer to our eternal life with Krishna, where there is no death or rebirth. So that's what we should be doing. And if we really understand, you know, nahanyate hanyamane sarira, we're not this body, the first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, dehi nosman yata dehi, first instruction. As soon as Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, Krishna said, you are speaking learned words, but you are lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamentation. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. They don't lament for material things. And then he began, Dehi nos vinyata dehi komaram yogana jara tata dehantara prapti dhirastama. First instruction, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. And if we understand that, just one line of the Bhagavad Gita, we have to act for the benefit of the soul, because that's really us. Otherwise, we're like Arjun. You know, we're lamenting that for that which is not worthy of lamentation. And then, if we come to the stage, okay, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. The duty of the soul is to surrender to Krishna and serve Krishna. How do I do it? Then Srimad Bhagavatam is there, and it will teach us to chant the holy name of the Lord. And that is the doubtless and fearless way of success. So every household should have Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Every member of the household should read it. Everyone. But of course you have to understand why. That's why we're trying to say a few words. Everyone should have japa mala and chant with attention, without offense. Everyone should have deities, worship deities, offer their food to the deities. And everyone should associate with devotees. Like Ketan, he's inaugurating his new house with satsang. We should use our house for satsang. And we can, you know, be successful in this human life. Acquiring material things is not success. Srila Prabhupada gave the example. It's not a very fun example, especially these days, but he gave the example that if you invest a lot of money in the stock market and in the middle of the day, you know, the stocks really shoot up and you're like a billionaire, but then by the end of the day the stocks crash and you lose everything. So is that a very good position to say, at 12 o'clock noon today I was a billionaire, but when trading closed you lost everything, you have nothing? But is that like a very great achievement? From 12 noon until 2 in the afternoon I was a billionaire? So that's our position. We're acquiring all these things, but at the end of the day, at the time of death, we leave everything behind. We don't have anything. So it's like, oh man, I was a multimillionaire from 11 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. Then, of course, I lost everything, but that's what we're doing. We're just trying to acquire material things. And that's not a problem, actually. We, as far as material things, we don't hanker for them, and we accept what comes. You know, what concerns us is when the pursuit of material things preoccupies our consciousness and we neglect our real purpose in life, which is to become Krishna conscious and go back home, back to Godhead, and dance with Krishna. All right. Well, I think we'll end here. I'll just add one sentence or two. Anyway, let us just chant once responsively the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as loud as you can, or louder. Oh, are we going to disturb the neighbors? No, okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Hare, Hare.
Hare, Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Hare, Hare.
Hare, Hare.
That was good. That was very good. Let's do four words at a time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare.
Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare.
Hare Krishna. Well, we'll do eight. This requires some requires some pranayama here to take a deep breath. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Radhika? Is it all right, or is it too loud for you? I think she's doing all right. Okay, now we'll do all 16. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
We should keep going, actually. So, thank you very much. I see we have the paraphernalia for offering lamps to Damodar. So we'll do that and then honor Prasad. It is a codicil. According to the Nectar Devotion, one should stay up all night chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. It's exactly, almost exactly 9 o'clock. So, we could just keep going, Haridas. What do you think? Anyway, we'll begin with Damodar Astakam and we'll take Prasad and we'll see what happens. Tomorrow's another day. It's getting closer to eternal life. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So. So today is a very auspicious occasion. Well, first of all, it's Sri Rama Ekadasi. It's the day on which Srila Prabhupada completed his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in Juhu, Bombay. It's the sequel, after Srimad Bhagavatam. Today is also the inaugural satsang at Ketan and Usha's beautiful new home. Raman Bhai and Ila Ben, are they here? They have been our, you know, loyal supporters of ISKCON and staunch devotees of Krishna for many decades. And following in their footsteps, Ketan and Usha have also been very active supporters and devotees. It's very appropriate that they should inaugurate their new home with satsang during the month of Kartik on Sri Rama Ekadasi. So I would like to express my appreciation to them for all of their years of service and best wishes to them for their wonderful use of their beautiful new house in the years to come. Their old house hosted many ISKCON sannyasis when there would be meetings and there would be shortage of space in the temple. Sannyasis would come and stay in their home, and they might do it again here. Yeah. They're also good cooks, very good cooks. But you have to take sannyas first. It's not cheap. No, actually, they're so hospitable, I'm sure they would welcome you, any Vaishnav in any Varna or Ashram. So, and they do have Srimad Bhagavatam. It's just at their old house. So let us express our appreciation and affection and good wishes to them by loudly chanting Hari Bol. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! I would also like to recognize Nayanamrita Prabhu. Nayanamrita Prabhu has been leading regular satsangs, and he actually, we had had japa weekends in Houston, and Nayanamrita Prabhu actually encouraged us to have one in Dallas, which we did last weekend. But unfortunately, he couldn't attend. His dear father passed away recently, so we all pray to Krishna to bless his father's soul. I'm sure his father's soul is already blessed because his son is a Vaishnav, but by the prayers of the other Vaishnavas, his father's soul will be even more blessed. And we hope you'll be able to attend a future japa weekend or retreat. These retreats and japa weekends are so powerful. You know, they really influence people's lives tremendously during the experience of the retreat and also afterwards. There are two devotees here from England, Deepak and Preeti, They can stand up. well, they attended the Japa weekend, and Preeti, for the first time in her life today, on Sri Ramakadasi, chanted 64 rounds. And Deepak, he hasn't been chanting so much, but today he chanted 42 rounds. So, altogether, 106. So if you each do one more, between the two of you, it'll be 108 rounds. Hari Hari. Let's all say Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. And last but not least, one of the most senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada and leaders in ISKCON, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami, has been in critical condition in Bombay, although I did get a report saying that, you know, there were signs of improvement and hope that, you know, he would recover to the way he was before. But still, we should, you know, keep him in our thoughts and prayers, and really it will make a big difference. You know, Vaishnavas are rare as it is, and then a Vaishnava of his caliber has been a real pioneer in preaching Krishna consciousness, developing the Mayapur project and developing congregational preaching all over the world, is really, but, I mean, we hope, you know, to have his association for many years and have the opportunity to serve him personally for many years. So it is a sobering note, but we have to pray. That's our business. Like once one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, if Krishna hears us when we pray, if he knows what's in our minds when we pray. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, he knows what's in your mind when you pray, and he knows what's in your mind when you don't pray. So then that devotee, Bob Cohen, later became Brahmatirtha Prabhu, he said, then why should we pray? And Srila Prabhupada said, your business is to pray. So it's our business to pray, and we do pray, and this should be one of our prayers, prominent prayer in these days. And you know, the chanting of the holy names is the best prayer. It's also a prayer. And all of our thoughts and feelings and desires can go into our chanting of the holy name. It will be heard by Krishna. So, I suppose the next item would be prasad. Srila Prabhupada said, no Vedic function is complete without prasad, even on Ekadasi. Once I went with His Holiness Bhakti Bringa Govinda Swami to meet a very elevated Vaishnav in Vrindavan. He was one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. And Prabhupada said he was a Paramahansa, which means like a liberated soul. And he had so much taste for the holy name, it was almost as if he was tasting it. I mean, like, relishing it, really relishing it. And Govinda Maharaj asked him, you know, Babaji Maharaj, did you fast today? And he said, and he laughed. He was very jolly. He laughed. He said, no, full belly prasad, full belly. And the morning after Srila Prabhupada finished his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said the devotees should celebrate with a feast. So even though it's Ekadasi, it's an occasion of great jubilation, Prabhupada wrote in his concluding words. So we will now celebrate with a feast. But it's all a feast. Chanting is also a feast, hearing is also a feast, and honoring prasad. So whatever feast you want, and see the beautiful deities is a feast for the eyes, so whatever feast you want is available. Raj, would you like to say anything?
Yes. Sai Radha Jaja Sai Radha Jaja Sai Radha Jaja Sai Radha Jaja Krishna Boya Daya Mai Hare Vada Jiva Jai Saprasana Dilobai Se Amrita Pa Radha Krishna Guna Ga Preme Te Kaur Chaitanya Nitai
That was what I wanted to say.